Welcome back. You're listening to Voices from the Frontline. This is Manuel Criollo, and I'm here with my co-host, Tammy Bang Liu. In our next segment, we'd like to welcome Tesemoc to the show. Tesemoc has been a member of the South Central Forum, one of the largest community gardens in the U.S., for over 7 years. He's been an elected representative of the farmers in the current struggle to save it. In recent months, land developer Ralph Horowitz has threatened to force the farmers off the land. The farmers and their supporters have until Sunday, May 21st, to raise the necessary $10 million the initial $10 million that they need to buy back the farm. Mayor Villaraigosa has promised $5 million, but has yet to deliver, as we know at this moment, any official news about his delivery of $5 million to the farmers. Welcome to the show, Tesemoc.
Thank you for having me on.
So, Tesemoc, why don't we, obviously a lot of people know about the struggle of the farm here on KPFK, and you've had a lot of major supporters, and I definitely want to get to the point where people should be sending money to the farmers. But let's talk about what is the current situation right now. From what I remember, from what I've kept up with it, is that you have been able to at least momentarily get an agreement from the mayor to save this, just to save the farm.
Well, that was the situation that was agreed between the Trust for Public Land and the mayor's office, where they had negotiated an option to buy from Ralph Horowitz on April the 22nd. And that basically laid out a plan for 30 days to fundraise basically what's going to be $16.3 million to buy the land back that was a result of a mistake that the city made. And so we are so in deep into this that we're, you know, how it is with anything political, that the cover-up is actually more expensive and more complicated than the actual act itself, right? If we were to say, this is what happened, let's correct it, then that would actually be safer and cheaper. But because the cover-up is so complicated that we're here in a situation where, you know, we're going to have to displace 350 families in South Central, and we have, you know, Jan Perry and the mayor have offered no alternative.
Well, let's talk about the sort of twists and turns, and it has many targets. And I mean, in following the struggle, it's had many targets. But it does seem to me that the mayor is the central figure in this question. One, because he is the one that has been pressing for, you know, an alternative Los Angeles, where he talks a lot about the greening of L.A. And to me, it's been, obviously, on one hand, I've seen a lot of that he's been a very consistent, vacillating ally for you. In other words, at one moment he's very strong, in other moments you're just not quite sure where he's going to go with this fight.
Well, I think this is good to get into this. I think there's been two fundamental pinning issues here, and I know as the Bus Riders Union, which is one of the groups you guys work with, is the issue comes down to racism. I think that Jan Perry has been race baiting us for 3 years. I mean, she really does not like the Latino community, and she's been trying to pin us, pin the African American community against the Latino community, because, as you know, the only people who benefit from racism are politicians. The people who are a product of that situation rarely benefit from it. And so we have basically the struggle is between Jan Perry and Villaraigosa. But even within that framework, there are some fundamental problems or disconnects that we have to look at. When Antonio Villaraigosa was looking for the African-American vote, he didn't have a problem bypassing Jan Perry. And so now all of a sudden, because all of the people that were looking to hopefully support this project are developers, and all of them have land in the middle of downtown, which constitutes Jan Perry's district. So she is as much of a problem in this situation as is Antonio. One, the other part of this situation is that Antonio needs to be a leader. You know, a leader means you got to get up front and take the hits with the people and take the unpopular position. You cannot say, oh, I'm working on the background. That's not a leader. That is called someone who's manipulating the situation. The city of L.A. does not need a great manipulator. It needs a great leader. And that's what we're asking Villaraigosa to do, to stand up front and say, this is an unpopular issue, but it's an issue that is a moral issue, and it's an issue that affects a great majority of the people of South Central who have been neglected for many years. Land use, as we've discussed, Manuel, is the next civil rights issue. You know, public land, how is it distributed? Who gets access to it? It's very clearly a civil rights issue, and this is the situation that we have here with this piece of land. Why was a public land taken and expropriate it back to a private developer. This goes against the very basic principles about, you know, using democratic principles to even out the inequities in any community. So again, we need, we're talking about the vision of the greening of LA. We have to be very clear about what does that mean. Are we lining and greening LA with dollars, or are we greening it with trees and, you know, a livable and sustainable city? That is the crux of the problem. Which avenue will Antonio take? And that is the problem that we're calling him on and saying, hey, you talk about this rhetoric about saving and greening LA, but, you know, while you're doing this, basically making more cash for the developers, which one are you going to choose? Put up the $5 million that you promised to the community to save this farm, and ask Jan Perry to take the unpopular position. Also, she is as equally as responsible for this situation, because they were in the city council when they created the situation, Manuel.
Well, you know, obviously, I think that the question that you raised around the role of Jan Perry, obviously, I don't want to downplay at all the role of Jan Perry. And obviously, I think that in many ways, given the history of both the land and, you know, I think the beautiful oasis that you've been able to create has all the context, right? I mean, we do have to understand, from my perspective, right, I would say that the land that Jan Perry was able to give away to Ralph Horowitz, if I understand that's ultimately what happened, right, where she was the main culprit to giving this land to Ralph Horowitz. Mm-hmm. And I would say that, unfortunately, what's happening inside at least that particular candidate or that particular elected official, which is Jan Perry, unfortunately, has at this moment been one of the most conservative black elected officials in the city. I mean, it hasn't just been on the farm that she's necessarily been, she hasn't really responded. I mean, I know right now she's leading one of the main fights around getting the city to appeal the recent decision to not enforce the overnight, you know, arrest by the LAPD. In other words, there's a particular law right now where LAPD can arrest you overnight, and she's been a big proponent to it. So I think in many ways it just represents her political line, not so much trying to create the division. Obviously, the division based on the real tension that's happening in South LA. But I get what you're saying. In other words, she is one of the main corporates, and we should not eliminate her from the story.
And then let's add another part. I mean, her website used to say, you know, I'm for the greening of L.A. Again, you know, this is an open-ended thing. What kind of greening are you talking about? But let's just look at the issue. You know, she says that she wants jobs in the space that we're at. And I'm saying, well, if you're going to put a warehouse, how many jobs can you really put on there? You know, you're talking about 4 jobs in a warehouse. And you're displacing 350 families. How are you going to compensate? Because all of these people will become a burden someplace else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, again, she just put up another park. She put a wetlands in the middle of South Central. Why wasn't she advocating for jobs over there? So there's a disconnect about, you know, her priorities. If she really is all for jobs, then she should be consistent. Like, you know, she's putting this wetlands in the middle of South Central where she says she needs jobs, but she's coming over to us and saying, well, I can't put anything here because I need jobs over here. You know, it's like we're saying that the value that space like this, the last 14 contiguous open green space in South Central, the value that it adds to the community is so much more greater than what you could collect from taxes and, you know, to be able to redistribute back to these people, which would be basically insignificant.
Let's talk a little bit about I was there last weekend when you were able to have a pretty impressive press conference to talk about the raising of the funds that are necessary to save the farm, and I saw many different forces, obviously a lot of, you know, many progressive forces out there. What has been the support of the mainstream environmental movement in the support of the farm? I've seen obviously that they've talked a lot about it in featuring it in stories. How much has real money come into in supporting the movement?
I think that very little, and that's actually part of the problem that, you know, that it's kind of a unilateral greening or unilateral environmentalism. Well, only if it applies to us, but as long as it doesn't apply for the other, you know, this is the same kind of policy that we've seen not only from the city but from the United States. as long as it applies for me, but it doesn't apply for you, then that's the line that is usually told. But we have a very extensive grassroots support, and that's really what we're doing right now, is actually reengaging the remobilization of people into the struggle. Again, we are basically running out of time. I think we have 7 days left to fundraise this kind of money, and then Horowitz already has the court order to basically give it to the sheriff's department, and as soon as the 24th of May is when they can actually begin to come in and tear the place down. So we are looking past the 11th hour. We're getting close to midnight, and it's not a happy situation. You know, we're really asking people to really put pressure on the mayor, and not only the mayor, but Jan Perry to step up to the plate and to put these kinds of petty differences aside, and to actually be great people and solve this problem. Stand up and be real leaders, not just rubber stamping the developers' plans. You know, not just going from the escrow to the county clerk. You know, you got to do more to be a leader of LA. You got to stand up. You cannot just march to the end. You cannot just show up at the end of the march. You got to march with the people. You got to sweat with the people, and you got to shake hands with the people, and you got to struggle with the people to get to the end of the march and say, yes, I can wave the American flag and say, what a great country this is.
You listen to Voices from the Frontlines, and this is Tecemoc from the, like the representative of South Central Farm. Tecemoc, what's the next step? I mean, so obviously I hear that you want to pressure both the mayor and Jan Perry. What are the concrete steps toward that? I know tomorrow for us, you know, there's a big discussion at the city council around, you know, $100 million that are being invested in LAPD tomorrow. You know, as you know, one of the discussions tomorrow is the money that's going to go into trying to tax more tax homeowners to have 1,000 more cars by 2010. Obviously, that's a position that the mayor's been putting out. Something that, at least in the strategy center, we're very interested in combating. We have this sort of slogan of 1,000 more, you know, 1,000 more buses, 1,000 less police. Mm-hmm. What are the next steps in terms of your tactics of how to pressure, and how do we get there?
Well, basically, we have a series of events that are coming down the line. Every day during this week, till we run out of time, we will be basically visiting the mayor's house, the Getty House, every night starting at 7 p.m. and letting them know this isn't a very important issue. This Friday, starting at 8 in the morning, we will have a protest outside City Hall, and we will have a press conference. We will be joining the two marches that are happening this Saturday, and we basically are going all the way down to the wire, to where we're running out of time, and then we're remobilizing our grassroots forces and basically saying that this is something worth saving, and that people are committed to making sure that is heard, that light is shined on that issue, and that it does happen. One of the really important things, you know, we're talking about disconnects. You know, here we have Vera Gosa talking about taking over a Leviathan like LAUSD, and I'm saying, hey, there's a disconnect. If you can't wrestle 14 acres in South Central, how do you imagine yourself wrestling a Leviathan like LAUSD? I mean, they're, you know, because I know this is one of the issues you guys are dealing with. How are you going to do that? If you can't handle the little things, how do you plan to manage the big ones?
Hey, Tecemoc, this is Tammy, one of the co-hosts here. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard you talking earlier around, you know, one of the things I tend not to use racism with folks of color. Uh-huh. So press nationality people, but that doesn't mean that there isn't prejudice. And so in the attempts you said of them trying to create barriers between the black and brown community over uh-huh. this piece of land,
right.
How has the South Central Farm, how have you guys tried to reach out to the black community in the historic South Central LA?
Well, we've made every effort. We've you know, gone through the African-American churches. We've talked to some of the leaders. We have some, you know, our grassroots coalition is made up of diverse people. It's not just us. It's just that the way that the place was when we got it, that was the way it was, you know. And so, you know, and then nobody wants to come into a place when there is uncertainty, right? So, you know, part of my goal is to be like the VRU and then to be like Kiwa, where, you know, we have groups of people that are diverse, you know, integrate a greater diversity of people because the issues are common. There's nothing very specific about growing your own food. It's a common theme through all humanity. We all have to grow food. We all got to eat. So the problem is that this is the way it's been laid out. But our goal is we're looking to people like, you know, like BRU and Tukiwa to show us the example of where we should be. And that, I think, is something that we've worked really hard at, trying to reach out to these communities and trying to make an effort to get them to understand the issue about what these means to our community also.
Well, to sum up, let's just end this segment, too. I know the most important question right now is to raise money.
Correct.
So where should people – I know, obviously, they can go to www.southcentralfarm.com
mm-hmm.
And obviously get a lot more information there.
Is there a number? SouthCentralFarmers.com.
SouthCentralFarmer.com. Is there any other information that you can provide folks where they can begin to send in their money? Folks should be sending their money. It's like we should put, just as we've been able to support the farmers by our feet, we should be supporting them with our money. So what is there a number that you can give folks?
Sure.
Where they can give you guys a call?
Yeah, people can call 909-605-3136. And they can get information if they want to speak to the Trust for Public Land directly, because that's where all the money is actually going right now.
Mm-hmm.
People can, I'm digging up a number right now. And, so, you know, the Trust for Public Land is handling all the money. The farmers aren't, dealing with any of that situation
mm-hmm.
to ensure that, there's transparency and that people get the 501c, the tax write-off when the tax time comes around. So all of these deductions will be tax writable. Unfortunately, I can't find that
okay.
number. So.
But you gave the number. It's 909-605-3136.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then that should get, you know, if they need the number for TPL, Fernando should be able to give it to them.
Well, thank you, Tessamok. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Greg Keeley's. But first, we have a message from Tom Morello of AudioSlave, formerly with Rage Against the Machine, about the South Central Farm. And stay back. We'll be back with Greg Keeley.
For the last 3 years, the South Central Farmers have been involved in an important struggle. I'm Tom Morello from AudioSlave and a host on KPFK's The Axis of Justice radio network. These 350 families in the middle of South Central Los Angeles continue to struggle to preserve 14 acres of community farms. In an area where household incomes number in the fifth lowest in the county of Los Angeles, this group has chosen to take a stand for open green space, food security for the most vulnerable, and present us with a new vision of land use that meets the needs of our community. In the next couple of weeks, the South Central Farmers have a rare opportunity with the help of the Trust for Public Land to save this community space. If the land cannot be purchased, the South Central Farmers will be forcefully removed by the Sheriff's Department through a court order. Please take the time to visit their website, www.southcentralfarmers.com, or call 909-605-3136 for more information. That's southcentralfarmers.com, or call 909-605-3136. I'm Tom Morello. Thank you very much. Si se puede.